It was a time of darkness, time of despair, a time of even doubting the promise of God's presence. And see, it was a time like that where Isaiah lived. And it's because of that that no other prophet looked forward to the coming of the Messiah just like Isaiah did. And it was in that time frame of darkness and despair and of doubting that Isaiah had these visions. And some of those visions included the coming of the Messiah. Those visions gave him hope and joy, new life and love. He had a vision of what the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah and Christ. And I've been thinking about that through this Advent season that we've been going through. And there's this thing that we call the Christmas spirit. You probably noticed it. Have you ever noticed it? Once a year, usually from about Thanksgiving, unless you're in the Philippines, which it starts in September. But from Thanksgiving until a little after Christmas, maybe New Year's, people's attitudes go through a change. They go through a transformation. We start hearing songs about goodwill and about peace. We go out of our way to give to people and to forgive. Families actually get together. You see, we call this different atmosphere the Christmas spirit. Now, most people, they enjoy the Christmas spirit, but we lose it shortly after December 25th. And the sad thing about the departure of the Christmas spirit is that the kindness, the generosity, the peace, all that goodwill, that warm feeling that we long for way deep down in our hearts, it just seems to disappear. And I imagine that short-lived experience, you know, that month and a half or 2 months of those enjoyable things only adds to our disappointment the rest of the year. I have a video clip that I want you to watch, so let's watch this.
May I welcome you to Christmas morning! It's in the singing of a street corner choir. It's going home and getting warm by the fire. It's true wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas. A cup of kindness that we share with another, a sweet reunion with a friend or a brother. In all the places you find love, it feels like Christmas. It is the season of the heart, a special time of caring, the ways of love made clear. And it is the season of the spirit, the message if we hear it is make it last all year.
What?
It's in the giving of a gift to another, a pair of mittens that were made by your mother.
It's all the ways that we show love that feel like Christmas. A part of childhood we'll always remember. It is the summer of the soul in December. Yes, when you do your best for love, it feels like Christmas. It is the season of the heart, a special time of caring, the ways of love made clear. It is the season of the spirit, the message if we hear it is may it last all year. It's in the singing of a street corner choir. It's going home and getting warm by the fire. It's true wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas. It's true wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas. It feels like Christmas. It feels like Christmas. It feels like
that song is just kind of upbeat, makes you smile, makes you feel good. So today as we continue working our way through, do we see what Isaiah saw? I want us to talk about getting the spirit of Christmas. Because could something as powerful and as wonderful as the Christmas spirit, could it last all year long? Or is it just a midsummer night's dream? I found an almost unbelievable demonstration of how the Christmas spirit comes and goes. It's a story that's told by an old German man. You see, he was a soldier and he fought with the German forces in the First World War. In those days, battles were not high-tech like they are today. It was hand-to-hand in the trench warfare. Soldiers lived and fought and died in the trenches that were full of mud and blood and of pests. In the trenches that were dug in the fields of France, the enemies, they could actually hear each other talking. They didn't need some satellite or some GPS to try to find the enemy. The enemy was just some yards away across the field. And this old soldier, he tells about how on one cold, moonlit Christmas Eve, he was huddled in the bottom of the trench. Because of the annual Christmas truce, the fighting, it had all stopped. And then suddenly, from the British trenches, a loud, sweet tenor voice began to sing, "The Lord is my shepherd." And the sound, it floated into the cool, clear, moonlit air. Then he said something very surprising happened. From the German trenches, a rich baritone voice began to sing in his native language. And for a few minutes, everybody in both trenches just kind of stopped and they concentrated on the sound of those two invisible singers, the beautiful music and the harmony that they were making. The British soldier and the German soldier, they sang praises to the Lord who was their shepherd. Then the singing stopped and it slowly died away. The old German soldier, he recounts that we huddled in the bottom of the trenches. We tried to keep warm until Christmas Day dawned. He said early on Christmas morning, some of the British soldiers actually climbed out of their trenches and they started to play soccer there in no man's land. They were kicking the ball around, playing a quick pickup game, if you will. Then the old man says some of the German soldiers climbed out of their trench. And England played Germany in a football game there in no man's land on Christmas Day in the middle of the battlefield in France. He said England actually won the game that day. Then he went on and sadly recalled that the next morning, the carnage began again with machine guns and bayonet fighting. See, everything was back to normal. So why didn't something that seems as powerful and as wonderful as the Christmas spirit last longer than 24 hours? Why didn't the German and English forces, the soldiers, why didn't they get up and play soccer again on December 26th? You see, our inadequate ideas about the spirit of Christmas, it's part of the problem. We often want to condense the Christmas of spirit into warm, fuzzy feelings. There's a song that is written by Brian Adams and Jen Valance. It's called Christmas Time. I want to read a little bit of it for you. I would encourage you to listen to it later on or find the lyrics and read the rest of it later on. It goes like this. We waited all through the year for the day to appear when we could be together in harmony. You know the time will come. Peace on earth for everyone. And we can live in a world where we are free. Let it shine for you and me. There's something about Christmas time, something about Christmas time that makes you wish it was Christmas every day. To see the joy in the children's eyes, the way that old folks smile. Say that Christmas will never go away. Please tell me that Christmas will never go away. It seems that the magical, the warm, fuzzy feelings that are generated by the music of Christmas, they turn out to be an illusion by the middle of January. The wonderful emotions of the holidays, they can only last until another cold wind blows in. And all the wishes in the world, they can't change that. We tend to think that we can solve the world's problem without God's help. If somehow we conduct enough polls or we do enough research or maybe even we throw enough money at all of our problems, then we can solve them all. But sadly, we don't even begin to see a fraction of the problems that exist, let alone the one that we might create on our own. No wonder we're constantly caught off guard whenever our best answers seem to only create more problems. So why do we settle for something as temporary as the Christmas spirit? Why do we sing songs and dream about it lasting longer? Well, there are a wide range of reasons why we dream about Christmas lasting longer. See, we hate to admit that we even have a problem. We like to be in control, or at least keep up the appearance that we are in control. And that's why the very first step in the recovery program is to admit that we are powerless, that our lives are unmanageable by ourselves. Now, we also want to keep up this appearance of not being weak. We despise asking people for help. And that's why recovery programs call us to believe that God can restore us as well as turn our lives into His care, and He will take care of us and He can lead us. But you see, we also enjoy the approval of others and we seek the approval of other people. So we do what we can. We try to do good and keep it up as long as we can. And then we hope to quietly slip away and no one will even notice that we're not there. So could something that feels as powerful and as wonderful as the Christmas spirit actually last all year long? Because of our inadequate ideas and our reasons for just singing and thinking about the Christmas spirit, nothing really changes year after year. It's just kind of a repeated cycle. See, the Christmas spirit, it can produce the truce, but not peace. The Christmas spirit make people think about peace and goodwill for a little while. The Christmas spirit, it thinks in terms of giving and forgiving, especially during the holiday season. The Christmas spirit actually has celebrities who go out to feed homeless people in the shelters. And although the strain of keeping it up is way too much, the Christmas spirit says something's about the deepest longings of the human heart. Do you know that we are wired for loving generosity and for care? God's love and His generosity, it is stamped deep inside our spirits. We are created in His image. But the Christmas spirit also says something about the incapacities of the human heart. We need something more than just the Christmas spirit. Left to our own devices, we cannot carry on that generosity and that loving care for too long. It doesn't last much longer than just the holiday season. But the good news is that there is a resource to help us deal with that. We can exchange the Christmas spirit for the spirit of Christmas. We can turn our weak generosity in for the powerful love of God. We can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit living in and through our lives each and every day of the year. I want us to look at the Christmas story as it's found in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through verse 38. It's when the angel comes and visits Mary. I'm going to ask you to stand in just a moment, not right away. I want to read for you from Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. See, Isaiah has this vision. The vision is, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. And that gave Isaiah the vision of the spirit of Christmas. So would you stand as we read Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your words to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Thank you. You may be seated, and may God bless the reading of his holy word. So the angel shows up, and the angel comes to Mary and actually tells her that she's going to experience the birth of Christ through the Holy Spirit in her life. The angel goes on and says that the power of the Almighty is going to come upon her, is going to overshadow her. The Holy Spirit is going to rest upon her. The angel spoke to her and said that the one who was going to be born in her and of her would be the one whose kingdom it would never end. Do you know the angel's statements to Mary? It resonates with most of us. The Bible actually teaches us in a very similar way that happened to Mary, that it is possible for us, for Christ to be born in people's lives through the Holy Spirit. Before Jesus left, he told his disciples to go to Jerusalem and to wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. He says, "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you." Think about that for a moment. The Spirit lives in you if you're following Christ. Is it possible that the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, can actually come into a person's life? And then if it is true, then the Spirit of Christmas comes into your life to make Christ to be born within you? See, the essence of Christianity is this remarkable truth. Christ, he stepped out of heaven. He came from heaven. He died for us on a cross. He rose again 3 days later. And then he sent the person of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to dwell in our lives. The possibilities are endless. They are boundless. We're not talking about some annual event. We're talking about a perpetual residence. We're not talking about something that is basically sentimental. What we're talking about is something that is utterly supernatural. God in Christ, through the Holy Spirit, born in your life, and your life, in your life, in my life. The difference, it ought to be obvious. We're not talking about good and generous and trying really hard only to give up after a little bit. We're talking about Jesus, God's Son, empowering us to be what we cannot be, empowering us to do what we cannot do. That which is born of you is born of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Now, I'm convinced that none of us have completely grasped what it means for an ordinary human being to have the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. But the possibilities, it's mind-boggling when you really stop to think about it. Jesus, he was that kind of person. And when he was here and he went around, he did all kinds of things. And in John chapter 14, verses 12 through 23, he says, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name. I will ask the Father, and he will give you the Spirit of truth. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him. He will come to him and make our home with him. The Spirit lives in us. The Spirit is here with us. The angel told Mary that the child, that her child, would establish an eternal kingdom. He was talking about the kingdom of God being established here in this world. Not just up in heaven someday. If we want to take the Christmas spirit and put it up on a shelf and truly experience the spirit of Christmas all through the rest of our lives, then we need to realize that the rule of God, God's kingdom, it invaded this world through Jesus Christ. And it has been growing ever since, continually increasing. There was an illiterate man who became a follower of Jesus Christ through the work of the Salvation Army. And he constantly went to the Salvation Army worship services. And then one day he came home and he was sad. He was dejected. And his wife asked him, hey, what's the matter? He said, I just noticed that all of the other people in the Salvation Army, they wear these red sweaters. I don't have a red sweater. His wife says, don't worry about it. I'll knit you a red sweater. And so she quickly knitted him a red sweater. He went to church the next Sunday wearing this red sweater. When he came home, he still wasn't happy. His wife said, what's wrong this time? He said, I just noticed that all of their red sweaters, they have yellow writing on them. Mine doesn't have any yellow writing. Now, neither the man nor his wife could read. But she said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I'll embroider some writing, some yellow writing on your sweater for you. Now, she had no idea what the writing was on the yellow writing on the red sweaters was. Does anyone know what it is? Does anyone know what the motto of the Salvation Army is? Well, here's a picture of it. Kind of hard to see. If everyone turn around for a moment and look back there. It's a little bit better back there. It's this red background with this yellow star, and it says blood and fire. Their motto is blood and fire. But see, the man's wife had no idea what the motto was. She couldn't read anyway. And so what she did was she copied the sign from a store window that was across the street from their house. She embroidered those words from the store onto his red sweater in yellow letters. And then he went to church the next Sunday, and when he came home from church, she said, did they like your sweater? And he was all excited. He said, they loved my sweater. Some of them said they liked my sweater even more than they liked their own sweaters. What neither one of them knew was that the sign that was on the store window that she had copied and she had embroidered on his sweater, it said, this business under new management. You see, that is exactly what it means to be in God's kingdom. That's what it means for the Holy Spirit to come and to dwell and to live inside of you. This business is under new management. This body is under new management. Is your body under new management? Do you notice what Mary said after she had questioned the angel? And the angel told her, nothing's impossible for God. She simply said, may it be to me as you have said. What Mary is saying, I'll gladly come under the authority of God's kingdom. I will gladly make myself available. I will gladly take advantage of all that you are doing. I will be what it is that you want me to be. As we go through this Advent season and as we look forward to Christmas, are we getting the Christmas spirit? Are we willing to say, Lord, make me a servant? Lord, use me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. More than anything else, I want Jesus to show up in my life. I'm available to you, Lord. Use me. Do you know what will happen? You'll begin to see something like the Christmas spirit on a regular basis. You can trade in the Christmas spirit for the spirit of Christmas. Are we getting the spirit of Christmas? Are we willing to allow the Lord to use us, the Spirit to come and to fill us? Each and every one of us should be getting the spirit of Christmas.